Hello, beautiful people. This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. On today's show, we'll be sharing segments from the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, which airs on YouTube. Let's begin.
We're here today to say, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. And we're here to demand that Guillermo Abrego Garcia be released.
This is a concentration. The arrest of Garcia without any due process, the interning him in a concentration camp from which there is no escape.
Anti-Trump protesters rally in New York, Washington, and elsewhere across the country. Elsewhere is doing a lot of work in that headline, given how many protests there were. But the AP front page, this big banner outside the White House fence, Trump must go now. Next to a sign that says Free Kilmar for Kilmar Abrego Garcia.
The fascist Trump regime!
The fascist Trump regime!
Must go now!
Must go now! Trump regime!
Must go now!
Must go now!
Trump regime!
Trump regime!
Must go now!
Must go now!
Welcome to the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show. My name is Sansara Taylor, and I'm joined by Annie Day.
Very glad to be here, and welcome to everyone tuning in. This show is about an actual revolution to overthrow this whole system of capitalism, imperialism, and bring a far different and radically better world into being, based in the new communism developed by the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. In today's episode, we're going to bring you a special urgent message from Bob Avakian from his social media titled, "The Trump Fascist Regime Must Go Now Before It Is Too Late." Bob Avakian has for decades been analyzing the rise of fascism in this country and over the last years been particularly shining a light on Trump MAGA fascism and in the last months giving very concrete visionary leadership about why and how we can unite very, very broadly to defeat this fascism, as he says, before it is too late. So we'll get to that before much more.
Yeah. So as Annie said, the heart of our show will be this urgent social media message from Bob Avakian. After that, we're going to have a couple other things. We'll mention them now. One of them is, you saw a teaser of it at the start of today's show. You saw Andy Z, along with thousands of others in Washington, D.C., raising the urgent demand. The Trump fascist regime must go now. And you saw that banner in front of the White House, and you saw it breaking into the media, which is extremely important. And this was part of outpourings all across this country, in big cities, small towns, all kinds of places, which has been a rolling outpouring at this point, week after week, weekend after weekend. And we're going to bring you more from Washington, D.C., from the speech that Andy gave there, from the understanding that he brought to bear. Very important. Andy Z is a leader in RefuseFascism.org, and he's a co-host of this show.
And the spokesperson for Revolution Books.
Yeah. And we're also going to show a little bit about the cases facing leaders in the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity, legal cases.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the case of Luna Hernandez in Los Angeles, David in the Bay Area, and Leo Pargo and Noche Diaz, who were arrested in Chicago, defying the Trump MAGA fascism, and in Luna's case, standing up for abortion rights.
Yeah, so we'll have more about their important cases later.
So without further ado, we're going to bring you this audio message from Bob Avakian.
The Trump fascist regime must go now before it is too late. This is Bob Avakian. Revolution number 115. On Sunday, April 27th, RefuseFascism.org is holding emergency assemblies in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles, bringing people together to wrestle with the decisive question of how to stop the Trump fascist regime. RefuseFascism is based on the orientation that in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. And as a concrete expression of that, it has put forward the urgent demand that the Trump fascist regime must go now. In this message, I'm going to speak to some of the crucial questions relating to this. In my message number 112, I stated this fundamental truth very clearly. Trump's fascist rule, like Hitler's before him, is a regime of horrors and is completely illegitimate. First of all, no matter how it comes to power, fascism is never legitimate. It is never legitimate to enforce a lawless dictatorial rule over people, trampling on essential rights, treating whole groups of people as less than human, and targeting vulnerable people for cruel and even murderous persecution. In the very first days following his inauguration this January, after officially swearing to uphold the Constitution of the United States, Trump openly defied and trampled on that Constitution. He issued an executive order that was in direct opposition to the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, which establishes that everyone born in this country is a citizen of the country. This amendment is not a policy. It is part of the Constitution itself. When this amendment was passed, right after the Civil War, one of its most important purposes was to guarantee citizenship to former slaves. And by its very clear language, this amendment guarantees citizenship to everyone born in the U.S. If Trump wanted to legally and constitutionally change this, which itself would be a very bad reactionary move, he could try to do so by following the procedures for amending the Constitution that are set forth in the Constitution itself. But that is just the point. Trump does not recognize any limits to his fascist dictatorship, not the Constitution, and not the laws or the rule of law and due process of law. After illegally rounding up legal immigrants who have been convicted of no crime, denying them due process, and sending them to a torture chamber prison in El Salvador, Trump has openly threatened to do the same with citizens of this country. If this Trump regime is allowed to remain in power, no one will be safe from its fascist rule. Whoever Trump decides is an enemy will be targeted, with no protection from the law. Black people and other people of color, immigrants, women, LGBT people, and others Trump regards as inferior and unworthy will be subjected to discrimination, oppression, persecution, brutality, and murder without even the pretense of equality under the law or equality and rights in any sense. Relying on the normal procedures and regular ways of doing things will not and cannot defeat this fascism and put an end to its very real and continually more extreme reign of terror. If the Republican Party were just conservative, Trump, Vance, Rubio and the rest would already have been impeached, convicted, and be facing criminal charges for their flagrant violation of the law as well as the Constitution. Back in the 1970s, when the Republican President Richard Nixon engaged in much less blatant and less extreme violations of the law, he was forced to resign because it was made clear to him that if he didn't resign, Republicans as well as Democrats would vote to impeach and convict him. But the Republican Party of today is not conservative. It is fascist. And that is why it continues to support Trump's open and aggressive violation of the law and the Constitution, and of the rights that are supposed to be guaranteed under this Constitution. The Democrats as a whole are both unable and unwilling to fully recognize and act in line with the understanding that the norms, politics as usual, and the regular way things are done cannot stop this Trump fascist regime, which is determined to defy and trample on these norms, including the Constitution and the rule of law it establishes. Right now, major Democratic politicians and operatives are debating whether it is necessary and good politics to stand up for the rule of law and due process of law in the face of Trump's flagrant violations of this. No political force that really cares about the basic rights of the people could debate whether it should stand up for those rights. So, along with the fact that elections in November 2026, to say nothing of 2028, would be way too late, especially given the crazed speed with which the Trump fascist regime is moving, and its refusal anyway to recognize the outcome of elections it does not like, relying on the Democratic Party is a recipe for defeat, a terrible defeat that humanity really cannot afford. To be clear, as people with a scientifically based understanding that it is this system of capitalism imperialism that has given rise to this fascism, and that the whole system rests on brutal exploitation, murderous oppression, and massive plunder and destruction of people everywhere, as well as the environment, we RevComs, revolutionary communists, also clearly recognize that the U.S. Constitution establishes the legal basis for the rule of this system, even as it provides for certain rights within the framework of this system. That is why, in the Declaration, we need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system. We state very clearly that we need a whole different system with a whole different constitution. The Constitution for the new socialist republic in North America, which will provide much greater rights for the people, including the basic right to have the fundamentally determining role in a new society and government whose purpose and goal is to eliminate all exploitation and oppression everywhere. This declaration is available at revcom.us. We are continuing to work for the revolution, which is the most fundamental solution to the madness and atrocity of this system. A revolution which will bring into being the emancipating system envisioned in that Constitution for the new socialist republic. At the same time, our declaration also makes very clear, so long as we are still living under the rule of this system of capitalism imperialism. We will defend people against attacks on their lives and on the rights that are supposed to be guaranteed under the U.S. Constitution. Right now, facing the fascist juggernaut of the Trump regime, defending the rights that are supposed to be guaranteed under the U.S. Constitution, and defending people who are subjected to lawless violation of those rights by the Trump regime, is all the more crucially important, is really a matter of life and death. In the most basic terms, this means and requires actually defeating this fascist regime, putting an end to its rule with its very real and increasingly undisguised reign of terror. This will require courage and sacrifice for the greater good. The greater good of actually defeating this fascism. Not looking out for self, nor retreating into things like mutual aid among the opponents and targets of this fascism. Something which could contribute to the increasingly massive mobilization that is necessary, but cannot substitute for and must not be adopted instead of bringing forward that massive mobilization. This truly life and death fight against fascism requires and needs to involve rapidly increasing ranks of people drawn from all parts of society and all walks of life, including black people, immigrants, college students and other youth, professionals and government workers, women, LGBT people, and others, all who actually have a profound interest in defeating this fascism. People with a broad diversity of political views and perspectives, uniting all who can be united and overcoming all divide and conquer schemes in order to bring forward the millions who can be the decisive force in driving out this fascist regime. Musicians, prominent people in the arts, and others with a public platform which can reach masses of people need to use their voice and platform now as a major vehicle contributing to and calling forth the massive mobilization that is urgently required. There can be no excuse for any decent person to stand aside from this critical and urgent fight. Not only is active support for this fascist regime a great crime against humanity, but passive acceptance and silence in the face of this fascist regime amounts to collaboration with it and objectively aiding it. On the positive side, actively building for and taking part in the fight against this fascist regime is a great positive good and profound expression of one's humanity. Even the prominent conservative commentator David Brooks has called for a comprehensive national civic uprising against this regime. And Robert Reich, former Secretary of Labor during Bill Clinton's presidency, has called for a sustained general strike to stop this regime. These and other ideas and proposals for how to defeat this regime need to be actively discussed and debated as part of and in the context of the overall and crucial process of moving with the necessary urgency to bring forward the massive mobilization that will be decisive in fighting for the critical demand that the Trump fascist regime must go now. This massive mobilization could have a major impact on the dominant institutions of the country, with the possibility of creating conditions that could cause major shifts and realignments among them. This is one way in which the Trump fascist regime could be removed from power. But one way or the other, this regime must go, and nonviolent but determined, sustained, and growing mass mobilization needs to be built as the bedrock force to bring about this crucial and urgent objective as soon as possible, before it really is too late. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. The Trump fascist regime must go now.
You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back.
We're in the middle of a revolution because I see the face of things to come. Oh, your Constitution, well, my friend, it's gonna have to bend. I'm here to tell you about the destruction of all the evil. It will have to end. Gonna get the notion, I know. They'll say I'm preaching hate. If I have to swim the ocean, well, I will, just to communicate. It's not as simple as talk and jive, a daily struggle just to stay alive.
Man, that really captures what we need to do right now, the basis for it, to actually bring forward the millions to drive this regime from power, uniting with all the people who also feel that depth of agonizing and agony. People should go steep in that. Listen to it again. It's at Bob Avakian Official. Listen to it with others. Talk about it with your friends. Talk about it early morning before you head out in the streets. Talk about it afterwards when you pull people together that you've just met and that we need to be meeting. This is really something people need to understand right now about what the basis is to do what humanity needs, which is to drive this regime from power. It's on Bob Avakian's social media, at Bob Avakian Official. Download it, spread it. Like I said, listen to it again. And we're going to say more about the impact Bob Avakian's voice can have in this moment.
As promised, we want to move now to a bit more footage from the very powerful and important protest that Andy Z and others with Refuse Fascism led in Washington, D.C. this last weekend. Some of what he had to say to this crowd. People are hungry for analysis and understanding. It gets to why they need to hear Bob Avakian's voice, but it also was demonstrated as people stood rapt as Andy gave a very meaty, substantive, and inspiring talk to thousands in D.C. about what we're facing and what it's going to take to defeat it. We're going to share some of that with you right now.
You look fantastic. I'm here to tell you three things. Number one, this is fascism. That's not a curse word, it has actual meaning. Two, fascism has momentum. It has direction. And it goes someplace that is very bad. And number three, it's the people who have the power. Yeah. just chanted. The Trump fascist regime must go. That's possible. We can do that. It's been done. It's been done in the last 2 or 3 months in South Korea. The biggest problem we face right now is the underestimation of what all of you and all of us and millions more could actually do. Fascism, number one. It is a different form of rule. It's not a curse word, although it is that. But it has content. It means that it is a repressive and oppressive form of rule beyond what has been the normal form of rule in this country, which is very oppressive and has demonized and degraded and enslaved people for 200 years. Now, I'm not asking anybody to agree with that. I'm a follower of the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, and I think the roots of this fascism in America come from that genocide and slavery, and this is a continuation of the Confederacy that we're seeing in the Trump MAGA movement. But I want people who believe deeply in this country to be a part of this movement to drive out the fascist regime, because it's not untrue that this vitiates the form of rule that we've had before. And it will get there if we don't stop it together. Fascism means the end of the rule of law. It means the truth doesn't matter anymore. Fascism has momentum and direction. What does that mean? It means it's proceeding to lock down civil society. It means it is moving civil society. What is that? That's the universities. That's the ability of us to talk. That's the ability of communities to be together. Everything determined by the objectives of the fascist regime, which are white supremacy, patriarchy, the hatred of immigrants, otherwise known as xenophobia. It is, to be blunt about this, the core of this Trump MAGA movement is a form of Christian fascism. And they're moving very fast. I think you wouldn't be here if you didn't believe this already. But let's just think about this. A black van comes up to somebody's house. They're leaving for their religious beliefs. They're going for a fast. To break a fast, rather. Men come in sweatshirts looking like just old good old bros, which is probably part of what they are. And all of a sudden, her pack is taken, her phone is taken, she's incarcerated, she's shipped to Louisiana from Somerville, Massachusetts. It looks like a list of 800 people who are being denied their legal status in this country for opening their mouth and speaking the truth. And 800 people, I just got to tell you this, when I say it has momentum and direction, 800 people can become 8,000 people, can become 800,000 people. Do not think that cannot happen. It is happening right now. And you are being, I just have to say this, people, everything this strange tangerine orange creature down the block
orange turd
has said over years, he is actually doing. Listen to him and oppose him. When he says we have lots of homegrown people who should be shipped out of the country without due process, put in a concentration camp from which nobody disappears, right? Has he said that? Should we say, well, it's not me, it's these people who... Of course you shouldn't say that. And you should struggle very hard with every neighbor, relative, as hard as that can be, I know, as hard as that can be, to say, are you okay with that? Because if you're not okay, you have to act on that. And Refuse Fascism has put out a call to conscience and a call to act. A call to conscience. What do you believe? Are you believing that all people should be treated the same? Are you believing that we should take care of the environment and not to spoil it? Are you thinking that said, yeah, I think it's real great that Trump's stomping all over the world with the danger of starting a world war when he says, if, and he said this, if we have nuclear weapons, why can't we use them? When he said, right over here, Lafayette Park, before going there, when people were protesting against police brutality, he said, well, can't we shoot them in the knees? Do you not think that he's preparing to do such things? All right, it has direction, it has momentum, and it has gotten far along. Now, to stop that momentum, we do have to stand up to every attack that comes down. But if we restrict ourselves to only standing up to the attacks, we are going to always be on the defensive, by definition and by the process that ensues. Think about this. We have to defend Gilmar Abrego Garcia. This is one of the most important fights in front of us right now. But the way to fight this, and I think this is very important, is to demand this Trump regime must go to fight against the entire program. Because they do something we do. Well, now let's wait for the next appeals court. Now let's wait for the Supreme Court. Then the Supreme Court says, you can't do this. And Trump says, make me. You don't think that'll happen? Andrew Jackson said that to the Supreme Court 170 years ago. It is we, the people, who have the power. Now, how does that not become bravado, not just become a wish? How do we actually have that power? Where does it reside? It doesn't reside in Congress. It doesn't reside. Look, I want to say something first about 2026. I know a lot of people, very dedicated people, are making phone calls trying to get ready for 2026. Here's the problem. We don't have that time. I said this has momentum. This is consolidating very fast. Trump said to CPAC, if you vote for me this time, you won't have to vote again. Oh, he just said that. You know Trump. He says, no, this is what he meant, and this is what they're doing. For those of you, and I see some from some of the signs that you've read, Project 25, which begins, by the way, with a Christian fascist manifesto and then goes program by program by program for hundreds of pages. They are determined to take that away from you. And by 20, I don't even know how much time we do have, actually, before they outlaw beautiful gatherings like we have today. Once again, give yourselves a hand on that. And this is something I mentioned that I follow the leader, Bob Avakian. And one of the things that he pointed out from a columnist in the Miami Times is there's really two countries now living within one border. One of them you can see on Fox News as their most liberal.
Not news.
Yeah, as their most liberal outlet. But you can also go to all these podcasts and see that these are people who have a different idea of the truth, a different idea of justice, and who want to return America back to a new form of the Confederacy. But there's another country that's bigger, and you're seeing yourselves right here. But the problem is we haven't stood up and fought the way we need to fight. And I mean, to be very clear, fighting in a nonviolent way, organizing protests, speaking out, resisting in our institutions. Good trouble in that form, but good trouble in the streets. In South Korea, and this is also true of the Arab Spring, it's been true of other things, you get out in the street. Some people work. Many of us work. Hopefully for a while, but many of us work. Well, what are you doing after work? What if every day at 6 o'clock in every town square people protested for 2 hours? What if at 6 o'clock the first 20 minutes was a cacophony of pots and pans? This has been done. I'm not some original thinker on this. It's been done. What's holding us back? We need to be organized, but what's holding us back is still a disbelief that this can happen, that they really would institute fascism.
It really can't happen here. We need to have the courage of our convictions.
Yes.
This is very, very serious. We have to have courage. Yes, there will be sacrifice. And I want to say something about that because I didn't prepare remarks in part today because I was inundated with some messages this morning because 5501, which started as a spontaneous movement online, it was very good. They were part of calling the first protest. We spoke at it in New York. It was wonderful. And I'm sure there's tons of good people in it, but they posted something about, we've heard that there are going to be some violent protests this weekend. And they've named a couple protests, including this one. Our phone number's all over the place, at great risk, actually. But they could call. They could go on our website and see that our principles include nonviolence as one of the first ones. They could go look at a 9-year track record of having many demonstrations that are nonviolent. But let's put the best case on this. This is people who got afraid.
Yeah.
When you're afraid, you have to come together. You don't divide. We have to unite, not divide. We need a movement that includes people who believe deeply in this country and people who don't. It needs to include people who have been Republicans in name, you know, when they're the people who stand against this. We have to have everybody who stands against this regime joining together when there are people who dupe. There will be people who are disturbed in some ways and try to provoke, let alone actually paid to do so. Then we point them out and we move them out of our crowds and we stick together. We lock arms. We support each other. But fear-mongering to destroy this movement is not acceptable.
Thank you.
It is not acceptable. You know, I heard that they said to one of our members, yeah, but we called the protest first.
Who cares?
Who cares, yes. But I thought, this is important. I definitely didn't intend to come talk about this, but I've heard about it from too many people. So you called it first. Well, that's a stupid game to play. I'll tell you why it's dumb, because I think the problem is not that there's 3 protests in D.C., but that there's not 300 protests against it. You know, but we decided this would be a day of bringing food to the homeless, or to the hungry. Of course, the hungry should be fed. They should be fed by the society as a whole, but it's falling to the churches and falling to people who do some kind of social work, mutual aid, and more power to people who are working to feed people, to house them, to give them health care, to provide community health care. This is very important. That doesn't stand in opposition to fighting a fascist regime, because you know what? All of those services are being gutted by this very regime, and we're not going to stop it just by giving soup cans. But of course, we should do that. They're not in contradiction. But then demonizing a protest is in contradiction to it. So I'm really thrilled, and I kind of thought this would happen, that people were going to come out in the face of that. And I think we should extend a hand, and we have tried to contact and have contacted all these organizations with very different principles, different religions, different believers, non-believers, all that's good. But we have to do this. We have the power if we exercise it. I wanted to circulate this. I wanted to hold it up. It says, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. We demand the Trump regime must go. And it ends with how we could actually do this. Millions in the streets not allowing business as usual when that business is cementing fascist rule by shoving the vilest, degrading morality down our throats. Many voices and many bodies demanding the Trump fascist regime must go. With this, we must create a political crisis in which the Trump regime cannot govern and implement their fascist program or even maintain their hold on power. This has happened. It has happened around the world. It has happened historically. Yes, it will require sacrifice, but you know what? living in a fascist America is going to require a lot of sacrifice. Without any joy, without any feeling of liberation, without any feeling of equality, but sacrificing your very rights and your very souls. So with that, I just want to say one more time, and I want you to join me in saying this. In the name of humanity.
In the name of humanity.
We refuse to accept.
A fascist America.
A fascist America.
In the name of humanity.
In the name of humanity. We refuse to accept the fascist America.
We refuse to accept fascist America.
The Trump fascist regime must go now.
Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show.
As part of the upsurges that have been taking place nationally, there's been continued to be protests against the ongoing genocide of the Palestinian people in Gaza, fully backed and funded by the U.S., and Israel's just utter ethnic cleansing. And today is actually Holocaust Remembrance Day. The Holocaust was one of the greatest war crimes in history, where Adolf Hitler in Germany killed 6 million Jews and over 6 million other people. And as part of its attempt to silence and suppress the protest against the genocide, the fascists and others have used this cover that any criticism of the genocide, any criticism of Israel is the same as being against all Jewish people. And so that's why we say anti-Semitism, which is being against Jewish people, is not the same as anti-Zionism, being against the state of Israel and being against the crimes that Israel is committing.
Yeah, so it's really important, especially when Jewish people and when anybody speaks out against the conflation of anti-Semitism, which is really wrong, and anti-Zionism, which is really right. But especially when Jewish people do it and say not in our name. And so recently, in defiance of Trump and the Trump regime trying to impose this wrong definition of anti-Semitism, saying any criticism of the state of Israel and its genocide makes you an anti-Semite. In defiance of that, a number of Jewish professors in an organized fashion across the country spoke out and defied this wrong definition. We want to share some of their voices right now, especially on today, Holocaust Remembrance Day.
Across the country, people are standing up at these different rallies and actions and purposefully violating the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition as part of this action. And that's what I'm going to do right now. Trump is trying to force the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism onto universities and colleges.
So, for example, if we want to discuss in what ways Israel is a settler colonial state, if we want to discuss how it is an apartheid state, if we want to discuss how the term genocide describes Israel's brutal assault on Gaza, we are violating the IHRA definition, and I am violating it right now. right now, right here.
Based on my professional judgment, Israel has established an apartheid-like regime between the river and the sea, one rooted in racial discrimination. According to the IHRA definition, accusing Israel of racism is itself considered anti-Semitic. So let me be clear. I do believe the Israeli regime is racist, and by the IHRA's logic, that belief renders me an anti-Semite.
We face an unprecedented crisis where the very definitions that are meant to protect Jews instead silence our scholarship. Israel, like the United States, in all settler colonial society, is a racist endeavor.
As an American Jew with no family connection in Israel, I have rights that Palestinians who've lived in the land for centuries do not. This fact illustrates that Israeli policy is racist and is based on Jewish supremacy. But under the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, everything I've just said makes me, a Jewish faculty member, anti-Semitic. But of course, the IHRA definition is not really meant to prevent anti-Semitism. Instead, it is meant to silence all criticism of Israeli policies in the past and in the present.
As a Jew myself, deeply committed to Jewish values, I feel it is incumbent on me to criticize the policies and actions of the Israeli state when they are blatantly unjust, as are the racist policies of Israel against Palestinians.
Such a definition of anti-Semitism serves to justify the Trump administration's chilling assaults on higher education, on academic freedom, not to mention the criminalization of protest itself, marked by the arrests, the shadowy detentions, and the imminent deportations of advocates of justice for Palestinians.
And so in the same way that some of the Trump administrative orders are designed to prevent scholars and students from having honest conversations about racism here, the IHRA, through definitions, through examples like this, are often deployed to prevent scholars from being able to have honest conversations about the way in which similar racist dynamics happen in Israel.
As a scholar of contemporary and historical public policy, there's no way I can honestly participate in my academic field while abiding by the IHRA definition. I can only speak the truth by violating the definition. Israel is a racist endeavor.
The meretricious use of the IHRA fabricated charge of anti-Semitism against critics of Israel, adopted now by so many federal, state, and local governments, is now threatening the democratic, constitutionally guaranteed rights of all citizens, legal residents, and visa holders to free thought and assembly. Our right to protest injustice, racism, and violence, and to assert, as I do, as a Jew, not in our name.
But not to do so, not to violate the IHRA, not to discuss how the Holocaust and the Nakba are intertwined, is to capitulate our intellectual integrity as scholars, our moral fiber as human beings, and our sense of justice as citizens.
The IHRA definition, if adopted, would betray academic freedom and betray humanity.
The future of my academic discipline, of academic freedom, depends on me violating IHRA. And so I declare that, among other things, Israel's genocidal actions must be compared to other genocides, including the Nazi Holocaust. Thank you very much.
So I found that video so moving, and I think it's really important that, especially on Holocaust Remembrance Day, we really fight for the memory of the Holocaust to be never again for anyone.
That's right. We also want to highlight, as we said, the cases of three leading members of the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity, people who were arrested unjustly for standing up for the rights and the lives of people and against this fascist America. One of the most crucial things in this period is rallying people to stand up and recognizing the importance of having the backs and defending those who come under attack. And, you know, not letting them send a message of intimidation and silencing, especially of revolutionary leaders, as well as anybody else in this period, but instead sending the opposite message. You come for one, you're going to face even more people standing up, defending them and surging into this struggle. So Noche Diaz, we want to start, we'll tell you a little bit about what you can do to support their cases, but Noche Diaz broke down something very essential about what's concentrated in his case this past weekend at one of the protests in Chicago. We want to roll a clip of him right now.
Waking people up to the emergency situation that humanity is facing and inspiring, organizing, galvanizing, mobilizing people to act in the name of humanity. So join me with your fists in the air. In the name of humanity.
Now, just to be clear, literally Noche was arrested for leading a crowd of people, mainly immigrant youth and those who are supporting immigrant rights, in making that chant, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. He was set upon by police in Chicago. They grabbed him. They grabbed Leo Pargas. And he's unjustly facing arrest for exercising his right to free speech. Luna Hernandez was standing up for women's right to abortion in nonviolent civil disobedience. Her case, she had a hearing yesterday, and she's actually going to be taken to trial in late May. So it's going to be important to support her. We'll have updates at revcom.us and here.
And she was actually arrested doing the civil disobedience with other people and is being singled out for prosecution.
Targeted, yeah. And David is facing charges. He's actually in court today. We'll have more on his case as well. But he is a leader in the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity and somebody working very hard to forge the broad unity of Refuse Fascism up in the Bay Area. And he's recognized as a leader there and is also being targeted.
So what you can do, go to revcom.us, sign the petition to drop the charges against Noche Diaz and Leo Pargo. Have any of these members of the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity speak in your class, to your community group, to your living room full of friends. Spread the word of these cases and find out more about the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity, who are very determined to unite all who can be united in the demand that the Trump fascist regime must go, while bringing the understanding that this whole system is rotten and illegitimate. We need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system.
That's right. So we have one more thing. I'm going to steal this from you. Before we close out the show, this is a really important pamphlet. It compiles several of Bob Avakian's recent social media messages and his New Year's statement. And it's called Trump MAGA Fascism, What We're Really Facing, Why and What Must Be Done to Defeat It Before It's Too Late. And so I want to put you on the spot to say something about this.
So this pamphlet was produced by the Bob Avakian Institute. And we've been getting them out in the dozens and the hundreds to people really hungry out at these protests, very agonized and about what's happening, and but really hungry to understand why is this happening and what do we do to stop it? And then we've had a lot of deep engagement about this and both about Bob Avakian's work on this fascism, what kind of system has brought us here, and again, what we need to do to defeat it. So write to the Bob Avakian Institute at info@thebobavakianinstitute.org if you want to order a bunch of these pamphlets and basically mass distribute them, blanket the crowds with them. Look, some people are going to, it's too much to read, they're going to chuck it. But if we distribute this in the thousands that are necessary right now, thousands of people will read it because people are looking for answers. And I think the, you know, key link right now really is bringing people the analysis and the understanding that's concentrated in this piece.
So everywhere people are standing up in struggle, they're protesting big and small, bring this out, get it out in mass quantities. And everywhere that people are searching for understanding, coming together in programs and forums and other venues and farmers markets, get this in people's hands. They're looking for understanding. They're looking for leadership. And there is nothing that compares to the leadership that Bob Avakian is providing right now.
And if you want to talk more with a representative of the Bob Avakian Institute or have one of us speak to, you know, a group of people more about the importance of this, then just hit us up. We're reachable. We want to field people. But it really, I think this is the, you know, urgent in this moment to spread this on a grand scale.
So Annie is the director of the Baba Vakin Institute. With that, I think we want to say thank you to the Revolution Nothing Less team for putting this show together. We want to thank you for tuning in.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
Was die Attentäter betrifft, die in Berlin den Anschlag auf die deutsch-arabische Gesellschaft verübt haben, ist die Polizei einen Schritt weiter gekommen, der nach dem Anschlag...
They sentenced me to 20 years of boredom for trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now, I'm coming to reward them. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. Of our